Okay, I wanted to give this shiur because I'm just getting the feeling from the discussions that we're having in the committee meetings and in the chinuch meetings that there's a lot of thought being given to handling Pesach, handling the week, even handling Shabbat and just davening and the way that people conduct themselves on Shabbat, and not so much to the parasha anymore. Nobody's paying attention to the parasha. There could even be people out there who don't even know what parasha is this week. Which is not great. So I figured we would give a shiur this week at least once. What would traditionally be the post-Kiddush shiur. So consider this: you're all full from Kiddush, or you've avoided the Kiddush completely and avoided the crowds, which is a good thing to do nowadays, I guess. And here we are to learn a little bit of Torah on the parasha. So we're going to be studying tonight the Korban Todah, which is one of the korbanot mentioned in Parashat Tzav. We started the whole subject of korbanot in last week's Parashat Vayikra, and now we're continuing it here in Tzav. Some of the things in Tzav are actually repeats of Vayikra. Just to give us some context, next week is Parashat Shmini. And Parashat Shmini deals with the eighth day. So who wants to go off of mute for just a second and tell us what happened on the eighth day? What was the eighth day and what happened on it? This is a test to make sure that somebody hears me. Chanukat HaMishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan. There we go. We're off and going. So there were 7 days of preparation where Moshe Rabbeinu basically brought down the Mishkan, showed everybody the ropes, how you do everything, how you bring the korbanot, how you get dressed, how you go in, how you go out. And he gave instructions the whole time while he was doing it. And then on the eighth day, finally, the Kohanim put it up for the final time, for the first time really, and the Kohanim themselves actually brought the Korbanot. But this is all next week. Right now we're doing Parshat Tzav, so Moshe Rabbeinu is still giving the instructions for the Korbanot. And
it's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks.
That's true. It's going to be 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That's a good point. In fact, is this another one where the Chutz Laaretz pushes off? Is Parshat Shmini going to be pushed off for Chutz Laaretz?
No.
It's a 3-day yontif, so on Shabbos they're going to read Shmini just like us. Okay.
Shavuot will push it off.
Oh, Shavuot they get pushed off?
Yeah. No, it's not 3-day. It's Wednesday, Thursday, and next week in Chutz Laaretz.
But the end of the Chag is also the end of the Chag is also.
No, that's where it's not Sukkot. It's Pesach, so right. There are only 7 days, and right. So the 8th will be Thursday, and then they have the Friday.
Okay, so in 2 weeks, we got 2 weeks to do Shmini. So this parasha covers all the korbanot. You start with Olah and the Chatat and the Hasham and the Mincha, and then we get to the Shlamim. Okay? And the Shlamim, each one of the korbanot, I should say, has its subsets, right? So the Chatat, the Hasham fits under the superset of the Chatat. And the Olah has the Korban Tamid, has a personal Nedavot that people want to bring. And then you have the Shlamim. And the Shlamim also has many subsets. You have the Shalmei Chagiga. You have the Korban Pesach itself, which might be a form of Korban Shlamim. And then we have the Korban Todah. Okay? And that's the first one that the parasha mentions. V'zot Torat Zevach HaShlamim Asher Yakriv LaHashem. And what makes the Shlamim special and what separates it from the other Korbanot is that it's the only Korban where the Ba'ala Korban gets to eat from the Korban. If I bring the korban to the Mishkan or to the Beit HaMikdash, I actually get to eat from it. The Kohen gets to eat from it. Hashem gets to eat from it, so to speak. And I also get to eat from it. As my father will attest, the rabbi in our shul in Brooklyn, he explained to us that the Shlamim is basically, it's a kiddush. You bring it because you want to give food to yourself and you want to give food to others. So the Shlamim is the one that you actually get to eat. And there's one specific kind that the first one that the Torah mentions is Imal Todah Yakrivenu. So let's go over what the Korban Todah looks like. So the Korban Todah is basically a hunk of meat, which we haven't gotten to yet, the meat of the Korban, plus a lot of buns, a lot of bread. Okay? How much bread is it? We'll get to that in a little bit. But you see that there's chalot matzot b'lut b'shemen, erukike matzot meshuchim b'shemen, and then sod merbechet chalot b'lut b'shemen, all different kinds of bread. And then finally, most striking, al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano al zevach todat shlamav. There's even chametz. We'll get to how special that is. V'ikriv menu echad mikol korban truma l'Hashem l'kohen azareka dama shlamim lo yiyah. There's a korban as well. U'besar zevach todat shlamav v'yom korban o yachel lo hiniyach memenu ad boker. And he has a day to eat it. He can't leave over until the morning. V'im neder u'nedavah. That's just to show you that there's another kind. You can bring a shlamim in another way. You can bring it as a neder u'nedavah. That's a personal, voluntary korban. Zevach korbano b'yom akivot zivcho yachel m'macharato v'anotar imenu yachel. You get today and tomorrow to eat. And then, if you leave anything over until the third day, essentially, then everything has to be burnt. Now I want to talk about some of the anomalies within this korban. What's strange about this korban? Okay, so you can already kind of see, I've given it away. One of the benefits over here on Zoom is that you don't have the sheet in front of you, so I get to control what you see and what you don't see. But I can't get out of this. You can see this already. What's the first anomaly about the korban todah? It's, of course, the fact that you have chametz. Now, why do I say that that's anomalous? We have plenty of korbanot that are made out of bread. So what's special about the korban todah? Well, I've already said it, so I assume that's why nobody's saying it.
Yes.
The chametz, right? No other korban has chametz. None of the menachot that we bring during the day, not the menachot that the Kohanim bring every single day, or any of the other menachot, not the one that the Sota brings, not the Korban HaOmer, none of the other menachot, nothing brings chametz. You're not allowed to bring chametz on the Mizbeach, except for the Korban Todah. Am I being honest?
Yeah, that's why we don't say Mizmor Todah.
Well, we don't have any chametz on the Mizbeach. Is that true, though? Am I really being honest?
Shavuot.
Oh, there's one other. One other korban that we do. One other place where we bring on the Mizbeach Chametz. Ad mimacharat Shabbat Shvi'i Tisbur 50 Yom Yukavte Mincha Chadasha LaHashem. This is the Mincha Chadasha, better known as the Shtei HaLechem, that's brought on Shavuot. Just to give us some context, we know that we bring the korban Omer on the second day of Pesach. That's a korban that's brought from what kind of grain?
Barley.
Lechem sorim, barley, that's correct. And then on Shavuot, we bring the shtei lechem, which is brought from what kind of grain?
Chita.
Chita, ma'achal adam versus ma'achal behema. Mimoshotechem, taviu lechem tenufa shtayim. That's the shtei lechem. Shnei asronim, sola, tiyena, chametz teafena, bikurim la'ashem. Look at that. Chametz teafena. The one that we bring on Shavuot is made out of chametz. V'kaftem al lechem shivat kvasim tmimim, and it's brought with some animals as well. Bnei shana upar ben bakar echad v'ilim shnaim. Okay, so you have one other place where you bring chametz. So two questions. Number one, why is there chametz in the korban todah at all? Why is there chametz in the korban todah? And now that I brought up the shtei halechem, what's the connection between the shtei halechem and the korban todah, that the two of them get chametz? By the way, just to make this a little bit more intriguing, aside from the shtei lechem, let's leave that aside, what's the closest korban to the korban todah? What's the one that's most similar to a korban todah that we have? It's a korban that you shecht, and then the one who shechts it gets to eat it. In fact, as we'll see, other people get to eat it as well. And as we're going to see, maybe I should have held off on this, but you have a short amount of time to eat it. And you have to eat the bread with the meat. Sound familiar? It should.
Sounds like the Korban Pesach.
It sounds exactly like the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach must be eaten al matzot umrorim, with the bread. As we'll see, we have a short time to eat it. You eat it with other people, as we're going to see, and we're going to focus on that. But of course, what's the difference between the Korban Todah and the Korban Pesach?
One's obligatory and one's...
Thank you, Barbara, for bringing that up. I want to actually focus on that soon about the obligation. But there's one other huge difference. The chametz. No? And chametz. The Korban Todah must be brought with chametz. And the Korban Pesach, of course, cannot be brought if you even own chametz. Okay? So that's strange. Barbara, right away, voluntary or obligatory? Is the Korban Todah voluntary or obligatory? Some of you may know, when do you bring a Korban? What's the most famous cases where you bring the Korban Todah? So the Gemara
basically
says...
Basically when you say a Gomel. Basically when you say a Gomel.
Yafe. So the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Dalet Amud Bet. For those of you who have been learning Daf Yomi, so you've seen this recently. Nun Dalet Amud Bet was all the way at the end, about 10 Dafim before the end. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav. Four types of people are obligated to give public thanks to those who go out to who go through the wilderness, that's the midbar, a person who was ill and was healed, and one who was confined in jail and was then freed. Those are the four people who have to thank God. Okay? From where do we learn this obligation? Where does this come from? So it all comes from one perek in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Zayin. And it comes from a pasuk that some people may misquote occasionally. I'm sure you probably have heard the song, Yodu Lashem Chasto, Yodu Lashem. So I know that when I heard it the first time, I just assumed that with the Hasidic lilt in the song, that it was really Hodu Lashem Chasto, Niflos of Livnei Adam, but that they were just pronouncing it Yodu Lashem, like Hodu, like became Yodu, until it was actually corrected that no, the pasuk is Yodu Lashem Chasto of Niflotav Livnei Adam. I want to say it's a pasuk in Perek Kaf Zayin, but it's actually not a pasuk. It's four psukim. Four times in Perek Kaf Zayin, this pasuk appears. And each time, I didn't give you the whole context, but each time this pasuk appears, it's associated with one of these cases, with a person who was in the water, with a person who was ill, with a person who was in jail, with a person who was in the midbar. As the Gemara points out, those who go down to sea, those who wandered around in the wilderness, one who was ill, and one who was confined to jail and then freed, who sits in darkness in the shadow of death. A lot of people are talking about whether or not we're going to bench Gomel when we come out of quarantine, Be'ezrat Hashem. So most likely not, because for those who are in quarantine just because they are infected or suspected of being infected, as long as nothing actually happens to them, so that's not like jail, because the point over here is that jail is something that's dangerous, sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. If you actually had the virus, then no doubt you would definitely say a Gomel. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should have a lot of people saying a Gomel at the end of this. But the Gemara ends and says, what blessing do these people recite? Review this says, blessed he who performs beneficent kindnesses. And Abaye points out, it has to be said in the presence of 10 people. As it says, let them exalt him in the public gathering. Okay. So these four cases are at least cases where you have to thank God and you have to bench Gomel. Do they have any relationship with Korban Todah? So Rashi says yes. Rashi in our parsha, Imal Todah Yakrivenu, Imal Dvar Hoda'a L'Neis Shenaselo, if it's because of a nace that happened to him, which is an interesting point that Rashi says that there's some kind of miracle happening over here, Kigon, Yordei Hayam, V'Holchei Midbarot, V'Chavushei Beit HaSarim, these are all the cases that we just mentioned. And apparently it's miraculous to escape from them. And what does Rashi say? Shehim Tzrichin L'Hodot. Okay? So this is Tzrichim Lehodot. Now, Barbara, I return the question to you. Does such a person have an obligation to bring a Korban Todah?
In those cases, it seems he would.
So it certainly sounds like I would have, if I were just reading this Rashi, I would have said Tzrichim Lehodot means that he has some kind of obligation. What's interesting is that many Achronim don't understand Rashi this way. I couldn't find it inside, but over here you see Rav Yoshia Bar Yosef Pinto, also known as the Rif Al Ein Yaakov. The Rif, of course, the famous Rif is a commentary on the end of almost every Masachet in Shas, which is a halachic commentary. This is the Rif on the Ein Yaakov, which is a agadic commentary. And he points out that Rashi over here quotes the Gemara, which doesn't use the word that it would normally use if something was an obligation. What word would the Gemara normally use if there was a real bona fide halachic obligation over here? I heard it.
Chayav.
It would say chayavin lehodot, right? Is there a difference between tzrichin lehodot and chayavin lehodot? And what would the difference be?
The difference between strongly recommend and you must.
Okay. So Rav Pinto says as follows. He says, So Rav Pinto wants to say that tzrichin is, he phrases it as almost a stronger language than obligated. He says, not only are you obligated, but you need to feel it. You can't just do it because you can't just bring the korban out of a sense of obligation. You need to feel like you're thankful to Hashem. That's what you need to feel. Rabbi Baruch Simon from America, who's actually right now sitting Shiva. His father just passed away. I got a notice about that. Rabbi Baruch Simon is a Rosh Hashiva in NYU. So he quotes the Shirat David, who says something very similar. He says, the Korban Pesach, sorry, Korban Todah, Shavada Asiba Shemaskikin Lahavi Korban, Hu Anes Shiralo, Avaloch Yavtoa Torah Bishvil Kach Lavi Korban, Kamo Chatat. It's not like a Chatat that you have to bring a Korban. Ella, the Torah wants Shavi Minidvat Nafsho, Kinyan Shematina Lagabe Korban Ola. It wants you to bring it out of the goodness of your heart to feel like you need to bring it. That's how the Hodah has to happen. He even quotes the Gur Ayah, that's the Maharal, who says that when you do a mitzvah, migzerat ha-melech, you do a mitzvah because Hashem commands it. But if it's only migzerat ha-melech, like you feel compelled to do it because you feel like you have no other option, he says that's not good enough. Ein zeh hoda'ah. Ilo ha'ita ha-torah mechayevto lehavi korban todah, lo haya bazeh mishum hoda'ah v'hakarat tova. There would be no hakarat ha-tov. So therefore the Torah ki'ilu leaves it in our hands and says, you need to bring it nidvat nafsho. That's how they understand it. However, not everybody agrees. The Barbanel, in his commentary, he says something different. He says, etc., etc. Hine az chivu katuv al zevach atodah. Shua basar asher kiv l'shlamim chalot. The Barbanel says that you are obligated. So here's my question. Is an obligatory thank you really a thank you at all? You know, every parent has this experience where, you give the child something. Or I'll tell you what I experience all the time, okay? I have my Parsha quiz questions that I ask kids, and they come over to me to answer the question, and I give them a candy on Shabbat. It's a sweet for you non-Americans. I give a sweet to the child, and then what inevitably happens is that if the child doesn't do it, they go back to the parent, and the parent says, did you say thank you? The child comes back to me and says a perfunctory thank you, and then walks away. Now, it's good chinuch. It's good. I think it's the right thing to do. The question is, would we be satisfied with that kind of behavior from an adult? Is that thank you really a thank you? If the child feels that he has to do it because either because his parent requires him or because it's a social convention, a non-optional social convention, if you will, so then is that really a thank you at all? What does the Torah get out of actually requiring that?
Is it a case of the inside following the outside?
It could be. You know? Yeah, it certainly could be.
Might you say this is something like mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma? You're developing a habit.
Right.
You're obligated to thank someone, but then after a while you do it not out of being told, but because you've got a habit of thanking.
It certainly could be. That's what a barber is saying as well. Chitzoniyut mi'oreret pnimiyut. The external inspires the internal. Okay, but that's my question. Now here's the big question about the Korban Todah. You know how many loaves of bread you bring? 40. 10 of each kind. 40 loaves of bread. That's a lot of buns. Why so much? Why does it bring so much bread? But it gets worse. If you were paying attention while I was reading the Pesukim, normally a regular Korban Shlameim and a Dava or Shalmei Chagiga, all those, how long do you get to eat it? 2 days and a night. If I brought it this morning, then I get all day to eat it, I get tonight to eat it, and I get tomorrow to eat it. Then it has to be burned before the night. But with a Korban Todah, I only get a day and a night. It has to be burned before the morning. So I have to bring 40 loaves of bread with, you know, if you're going to fill 40 loaves of bread, you got to also bring a lot of meat. You can't just bring 40 loaves of bread and a little bit of a hamburger. Plus, I get less time to eat it. How does that make sense? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so those are the anomalies. Now I want to get to some of the deep thoughts over here. I call this the deep Torah of Todah. I'm very proud of this little pun. Okay. Chametz and Matzah. So we're going to look at two different commentaries, or at least two different commentaries, on what the idea over here is, the Chametz and the Matzah. It's kind of surprising that the Todah has Chametz at all. You don't expect to see Chametz. The Korbanot don't have Chametz. So the Rabbanel says as follows. Tantam shayu talmei Todah arba minim mehalechem v'shayu shlosha mehem matzah v'char chametz. 30 out of the 40 loaves are matzah and 10 are chametz. Ulirmod shatovot ba'olam hazeh hen yoter min haraot. Hefech machshavat haschalim כמו שכתב הרב המורה, ושם ביאר שהרעות הנופלות לבני אדם הם מפאת עצמם, כי הם ישובו כולם על אחד מגמל מינים. The Rabbanan says this idea that what it's trying to teach is that even though it looks like there's more bad in the world than there is good, it's not true. There's really more good than there is bad. Now, before we continue, in the Korban Todah, between the Chametz and the Matzah, if you had to guess, which is the bad and which is the good? Between the Matzah and the Chametz. When I was reading this, Abba Anal, I paused. I paused and I thought for a second. Yoel, what do you say?
Chametz is the bad.
Yoel, you say Chametz is the bad. Okay, Yoel, you say Chametz is the bad.
Chametz is Lechem Oni.
Pinchas, what do you say?
Here it seems that the Chametz is the good.
Oh, you want to say Chametz is the good?
Chametz is Lechem Oni, so it sounds like a lesser quality.
Okay, that's a good argument for why Chametz should be Lechem, why Chametz should be the bad. Matzah should be the.
He says, "Hatovot ba'olam yoter min ha'raot," and there are three. Three matzot. The matzah is the good one. The matzah is the good one.
There's more matzah than there is chametz. Right.
Shlosha mehem matzah.
Right.
Echad chametz.
Right. You're saying that it's supposed to reflect what people think. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So ha'echad me'asher hu ba'al chomer hove nifsad ki mizeh yavo ala bumim gdolim. So this is the first bad thing that happens to people, is that we're all material people, and so we get old, we get sick. These are the kinds of things that happen to us. The second bad thing is behitgaber k'tzatam al k'tzatam. Some people are able to oppress other people. And the third thing is mashia yira lebnei adam mipulato ba'atzmo b'harbot ha'machal v'mishteh v'mishkal v'hasakonot atzumot k'rikivat hayamim v'havodat ha'malachim k'mamar shlomo. Basically, all of the travails of the world, you know, people get too involved in temptation and things like that. All those things, they lead to bad. That's what happens. Sheshem matzah zu yore al meriva kamo ohev matzah. I never saw this connection before the Abarbanel. What's he talking about? What phrase? Matzah umiriva. Natzah is a lashon of fighting. Nitzah. The two people who are fighting and they end up hitting the two people who are fighting and then they end up hitting the woman, right? That word nitzah shows up over there. Matzah is also a lashon of fighting. What about chametz? V'shem chametz, yore ha'ikuv v'hamaton. This is the opposite of every Pesach Dvar Torah you'll ever hear. What's great about chametz? Chametz is about patience and waiting. Kemo sha'amruzal, ashrei dayan shemechametz et dino. Blessed is the judge who lets the din sit for a little bit. He doesn't jump. People don't enjoy the three bad things. What do people do when bad things happen to them? So they yell at God. They get upset. And therefore Hashem gave it tzivui to bring shlamim shel todah, three minei matzah, keneged the three types of fighting that you do with Hashem. Three things cause you to fight with Hashem, so he says, bring three types of matzah. Okay? Ke'omer zechor bevoi lach atlaot v'ata ba lariv im Hashem, zechor ki asayim chaniflaot. When you bring these things, don't forget all the good things that he did for you as well. Ulamot hitev v'laze bevoacha lariv im Hashem, itakev maton v'libcha, al yemeher lehotzi davar keneged Hashem. When you're ready to fight with God, hold it in. Don't hurry to do it. So don't think that Hashem is not paying attention to you. Therefore, he said, bring the lechem chametz, chametz dincha u'mishpatecha lifnei Hashem. Let your judgment of God sit for a little bit. Let it ferment. Vaz tifsok et hadin, ki hu el amunah vein avel, tzadik v'yashar, because God only does good. V'ze shehabal sholmei todah, kishu ro'eh sheshlamav, einam ne'achalim ala leyom v'layla ad chatzot, Now this, the Abarbanel points out, we'll get back to it with a nitziv as well. What's the benefit of having so many pieces of food and so little time to eat it? What are you going to end up doing?
Eating it in a hurry.
You might eat it in a hurry. What else are you going to do? You have to invite guests. But you have to invite guests. And you end up, ultimately, this Korban Todah is brought when bad things happen to you, but when you get saved from them. You know, a bad thing happens to a person. A person is in jail for many years, right? And he gets very sick, and then he finally gets out. His first inclination might not be to thank God. His first inclination may be to get upset. Why did I have to spend so much time in there? Why did I have to go through such oppression? So Hashem says, no, no, no. Bring this and think about it for a minute and realize you got out of danger. And talk about it with everybody. How about the miracle of getting out of this terrible danger? If you had as much time to eat it as you wanted, then you would take your time and you would eat it by yourself. That's what you would do. Okay, so that's to whet our appetite, so to speak. That's what the Rabbi Benel says at the beginning. Okay, now the Rav Hirsch, he has a different theory to embellish this. So he says, this is called a Todah. The bringer, in whichever position of light he may be, seeking to get nearer to God and confining his offering entirely to matzah, expresses his conviction that any and every degree of external well-being he enjoys is due to his serving God and is only to be used in such service. So normally, a korban shlamim is brought with only matzah, a regular korban shlamim. Why? To show that even though you're trying to enjoy this world, you're doing it in a very pietistic fashion. You're doing it in the minimal fashion that you have. You want to enjoy this world, you want to make brachot, you want to have some meat, but you're going to eat with matzah. Because matzah is sanua. But the todah offering has not only matzah, but also two groups of bread, chametz and matzah. Why? So that in Todah, the same external existence, the same external material existence which has been endangered and which has again been granted afresh, appears both as chametz and matzah. It appears in chametz as representing the worldly position of the restored person. And this same worldly position appears in its relation towards God as matzah. And it is only as matzah that it receives the greater or lesser participation in real well-being. Very interesting. Rav Hirsch says we're supposed to focus on the matzah. For chametz, as opposed to matzah, designates the condition of independence and of being in possession of free, untrammeled power over disposal. Whatever the nature of the suffering or misfortune from which the bringer of the Todah had been delivered, it had in every case been a tzara, which entailed the feeling of restriction. And then when the sufferer comes forth, he feels himself in secure independence. Nevertheless, it gets kind of tempered by the matzah. In other words, the person comes out of this danger, and he's again has a feeling of being shalem. After coming out of jail, after coming out of the hospital, after coming out of the midbar or off a boat, he was in danger, he was scared, he felt like less of a human being. And then when he came out, he felt shalem again, he felt full. And so he brings the chametz. And the chametz is meant to express the fact that he feels independent. But on the other hand, he brings the matzah, which far outweighs the chametz. There's more matzah than there is chametz, to show that even in his independence, nevertheless, he gives up all claim to its being due to his own efforts, and he feels, nevertheless, dependence on God. Okay, everybody following what Rav Hirsch is saying? He's saying, yes, there is chametz here. Why is there chametz here? Because it would be disrespectful, almost, to bring only matzah, because then you're basically saying, I still feel like less of a man or a woman. But nevertheless, you also bring matzah to show that while you feel full, you're still restricted. Okay? That's how Rav Hirsch understands the Korban Todah and the Chametz. Now, I want to quote for you Rabbanit Sharon Rimon. I don't know if it's Sharon or Sharon. I have no idea. That's Rav Yosef Rimon, that's his wife, from the Gush. And she has a long essay about this, which we're going to quote twice. Here's the first time. And she contrasts, actually, the Korban Todah over here with Pesach. And she says, we have to understand the reason for the general prohibition of offering chametz in the Mikdash. Leavened bread is superior bread. Chametz is better because it symbolizes wealth, success, and pride. It's superior from a materialistic perspective, from a taste perspective. It sells better, right? Unleavened bread, matzah, is created by halting the process in the middle. We stop the process. It's inferior. It's the poor man's bread. Like my father said, it's lechem oni. When a person brings a sacrifice to God, he doesn't bring matzah. Well, he brings matzah, he brings matzah and not chametz. Sorry, I apologize. Because he wants to express his imperfection. When I bring a korban a chatat, but I bring a mincha, right? I bring a mincha as a type of chatat. So I'm going to bring it for matzah because it would be a chutzpah to bring chametz. I'm trying to atone for a sin. I can't bring chametz, which represents the material side of my life. I have to be tzanua. I have to have a sense of humility, not pride. But the Thanksgiving offering, the Korban Todah, expresses love between a person and God, and he brings matzah to symbolize the distress in which he previously found himself, and emerging that distress, and emerging from that distress. If you didn't bring chametz, what would happen? It would be interpreted as ingratitude, right? Imagine, you know, you go on a date with your girlfriend, and you say, instead of going to a nice restaurant, I thought it would be nice if we went to, I don't know, a soup kitchen. Why? To show how humble we are, right? And we'll eat just a tiny little bit. That's not appropriate. You know, if you want to eat less, that's fine. But, you know, you have to bring the goods. To say thank you to God and to do it with matzah, it's not appropriate, right? So you have to bring chametz because what you're doing is you're trying to give glory to Hashem because you're trying to thank him for bringing you out of this oppression. Okay, that's in terms of the chametz. Now, getting back to the thank you business. So we saw that Rashi said that it's supposed to be a little bit voluntary. The Rif says it's a little bit voluntary, but the Barbanel says that it's supposed to be obligatory. What does it mean for a thank you to be obligatory? So the Ksav HaKabbalah, Rav Yitzchak Mecklenburg, he quotes the Shadal of Shmuel David Luzzatto, great Italian modern sage, and he says, where did the word Todah come from? Now, this is a big tumult amongst many linguists. So he says, Lashon Hoda'a Shabaloshon Chachamim Ne'emar Le'inyan Hachzakat Tova Le'inyan Halel V'Shevach Eina Ha'Horah Atzmit. Okay? Says, the understanding of the Chachamim, the way that they use the word Hoda'a, it comes from the idea of giving thanks, giving, trying to praise the person who did something good to you. A thank you is praise towards the person who did something good for you. Omnam, nimshachu batzad ma me'inyan hoda shebelashon mikra. Says, but it's not really the same as the word todah in the Torah. So the hoda of the chachamim is not the same as the hoda'ah of the Torah. Ki belashon mikra inyana be'etzem rishona hachna'a. What's hachna'a? I didn't hear. Subjugation. Yeah, subjugation, subordination, bowing down. Lachnia means to give yourself over to someone else's control. Kishoresh hoda hu yadeh. This is very interesting. V'inyana netinat yad. He says the word hoda, some of the later linguists believed in a two-letter root. Rav Hirsch believed in this as well. A two-letter root. He wants to say that the word todah really comes from yad. And it's the lashon of giving over your hand. Lashon etinat yad, moreh b'lashon ha-mikra, hachna'at atzmo l'ratzon acherim. To give your hand over to somebody means to give yourself over to someone else's control, to their desire. Min ha'inyan hazeh, Mitzrayim netano yad. That like Mitzrayim gave over to Shlomo, their control. Also, you give over control when you work. You work for somebody. And so he wants to say, not to praise God, not to say thank you, like thank you, you're so wonderful, but to acknowledge that you owe that person, that you owe God, that you are indebted to him because of what he did for you. This is key. It's like what Yaakov said to Hashem. I don't deserve this. Where do we see this, by the way? Rav Yaakov Neuberger, who is my Rosh Hashiva in NYU. So he taught us it's in the language of the bracha. What do we say? Hagomela chayavim tolot shegmalali kol tov. What is hagomela chayavim tovot? What do you see in those words? Hagomel lechayavim tovot. What's the implication behind the bracha?
That you didn't deserve it.
That you're chayav. What happened?
I am guilty. Yes.
Exactly. You were saved from some danger. You were saved from the danger. That's what you're saying. Thank you, Hashem. Now, if you were just saved from a danger, and it was stam, a danger, you happened to be in danger, and Hashem saved you. So very good. You thank Hashem because, that was nice. You didn't have to do that. But here, it's not only did you not have to do that, you deserved the danger, and Hashem saved you anyways out of chemla, out of mercy and compassion. If it's like that, then you owe Hashem. You're not saying thank you because it's nice to say thank you. You're saying it because you want to give yourself over to his control. And in that sense, then the korban takes on an obligatory sense. Now we understand why the Abrabanel says chayavim. Because it's a chiyuv. You're supposed to feel a sense of chiyuv. Not just niceness, but a chiyuv.
Is that how Leah meant when she said Shavodelasen? When she had the Yuta?
Right. What does Rashi say? Why does she say thank you in that case? Rashi says because Yehuda was number four.
She had four, yeah.
She was only supposed to have three. Right. She was only supposed to have three because each of the
Yeah,
the
host, okay.
Three.
Okay. Yeah.
When you have more than what you deserve. Okay. All right. And then the last question that we had so much, Brad, we already kind of answered this. The Netziv, though, focuses on it. And he says, Al chalat lachem chametz yakriv korban. See, the Netziv, as opposed to Rav Hirsch, he says the key here is the chametz. Why? Because if you look back in the Pesukim, it's actually, he's right. He's right, of course. Look what it says. It mentions all of the bread. But then, achalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano. Al zevach todah shlamav. You're bringing it really on the chametz. The bun is the chametz. Okay, that's going to be the sandwich. The korech is going to be with the chametz, not with the matzah. And he says, tachlit korbanu chalot lechem chametz, and mishum zeh mefarish od hamikra al zevach todah shlamav. And he says, ha'inyan de tachlit ha'todah shabal anes hu kedei lesaper chaste Hashem shagamal alav. The whole point is to say all of the chasadim that Hashem did for you, and that's why you have a lot of bread and very little time. Kedei sheyeh merivat marbe re'im lesuda chat b'yom hakarva b'yesipor anes lifnei rov anashim. You want to have a lot of people to come in so that you can tell everybody about it. V'imkin ha'ikar achila hu lechem chametz dematz hu lechem oni v'enu ne'achal yafek kemo chametz. Why is the ikar the chametz? Because what do you want? How are you going to get people to come to your kiddush? If you tell everybody, look, let's be honest here. If you tell everybody we're going to have a kiddush with carrots and crackers, what's going to happen?
No one will come.
Not
we know
a big
what's
crowd.
Going to happen. We know what's going to happen. But if you say we're going to have cupcakes and cheesecake and et cetera, you know what's going to happen. People are going to show up. And that's what we want over here. We want people to show up. That's why there's so much bread and that's why there's so much chametz and that's why you have so little time. So you invite more people. Aye, but what about the Shtei HaLechem and the Pesach? Anybody want to try to get a stab at it? What's the connection between the Shtei HaLechem and the Pesach? Sorry, the Shtei HaLechem and the Korban Todah. I saw this for the first time this year in Rebbetzin Rabbanit Rimon's article. I thought it was brilliant. What's the connection between the Shtei HaLechem and the Korban Todah? Why do we bring matzah? Why do we bring chametz on the Shtei HaLechem?
All I can remember is you asked a question like this about Shavuos, about the Shtei HaLechem.
Okay.
But I can't remember the answer either.
it's somewhat kashur, but this is more particular to what we're talking about over here. So take a look at what she says. She says the Thanksgiving offering involves a feast of Thanksgiving eaten with bread, and nothing can be left of it until the morning. This is reminiscent, as we said before, of the Pesach, right? You invite a lot of people, you eat the korban with bread. And you only have one day/one night. You have even less time in Pesach. Only one night to bring it. The only difference is no chametz. Why don't we have chametz on Pesach? We should have chametz on Pesach. Pesach should be the day that we have chametz. We want to be thankful to Hashem. We want to thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. What greater day? It's like going out of jail. What greater day to have chametz than Pesach? So why don't we have Pesach on chametz? Why don't we have chametz on Pesach? So, and in fact, many understand that the Korban Pesach is like a Korban Todah, except for that one difference. So what are we going to say? So she says, the Pesach sacrifice is offered on the 14th of Nisan and is eaten during the night that follows. What was going on in Egypt at that time? On the day of the 14th, the Bnei Israel slaughtered their Pesach sacrifice, had painted the blood on the doorposts of their houses, and Egypt was struck by the plague, Makat Bechorot. But the exodus from Egypt took place only the next morning. So the Pesach sacrifice is not meant to commemorate the conclusion of the redemption process, but rather represents a stage during the course of it. Therefore, it's not appropriate to bring chametz, so we bring only matzah. We dafka bring matzah to show that we are only in the midst of the Exodus, but we haven't yet completed it. But wait a second. It's not only on the 14th and the 15th of Nisan that we don't have chametz. We also don't have it the rest of the week either. So we should have chametz the day after. Why not? So she says, we must ask, why on the 15th of Nisan? Are we still forbidden to eat leaven? So she says, the redemption from Egypt did not end with the exodus of Bnei Yisrael from Egypt. This was merely a stage in the redemption process. The first three stages, I shall take you out, I shall deliver, hoteti, hitzaldi, ga'alti, lakachti. And she says, the next stage is I shall take you. And she wants to say that this is the revelation and the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. That's the lakachti. The final stage of redemption is I shall bring you, leading Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. I should just note that the Netziv, by the way, I spoke about this in the short Haggadah insight that the Shul sent out and is also found on the Shirim website that we just put up. I also gave a Shir on it, but the Netziv says that this is actually Behodati, after Belakachti. He wants to say that this is the fifth cup. The fifth cup is commemorating standing on top of Mount Sinai. So what does that mean, though? That's the final stage of the redemption. On Pesach, we eat matzah rather than leaven, because on Pesach we are celebrating not the full and complete redemption, but rather a stage. When do we celebrate the full redemption?
Shavuot.
On Shavuot. At the end of the process is Shavuot, and on Shavuot, the two loaves are to be brought, symbolizing our thanks for the produce of the good land. The two loaves brought on Shavuot are baked with leaven. We have chametz on Shavuot. We have the shtei lechem on Shavuot, because it is the completion of the redemption. That's a Korban Todah. But it's even more of a Korban Todah than Pesach, because it's the end of the redemption. That's the day that we can finally look back and say thank you to Hashem. We can look back and say we understand everything that happened. Okay? And so that's the connection between the Korban Todah and the Shtei Lechem. All right, that's what I wanted to share with all of you tonight. Thank you for bearing it with me.
Thank you.
Shkoyach, everybody. Shkoyach. Have a great Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.